So we're in a broader sense in a series on the Maharal. The way we do this Yerim is we're getting used to it a little bit. Is we had 2 weeks of a Hakdama to the thought of the Maharal. We then had last week speaking about the Maharal's perspective and contrasting it with Rashi and the Rambam as far as the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. We saw last week that Rashi views Avas Hashem as really something which is supposed to impact the way that we act, whereas according to the Rambam, according to the Maharal, it is something which is much more emotional. It's something which is much more about a certain kind of feeling. Within the Rambam, we spoke about last week, the nature of that feeling. There is a lot of discussion in the Rambam that we didn't talk about in terms of the precise way that you acquire Ahavas Hashem, looking at just Torah, looking at the world of science, looking at the world, you know, how exactly you get there. Well, I want to spend one more week as far as the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem, and that's to look at some other perspectives. The insights of some other people, it'll help us appreciate a bit more some of what the Maharal did, and they really relate to some questions that we struggled with last week. One, a question that the Rishonim deal with, a question that the Maharal really struggled with, is a question of how you could have Ahavas Hashem. How is it possible to love Hashem if you assume that love is with things that are somewhat similar? So how is a person able to make that jump to love God? The fact that God doesn't have a body, we can't see God, we don't see revealed miracles all the time, we're not prophets getting messages. The notion of loving Hashem is something which is very, very challenging, and that's something which the Maharal asked. Other Rishonim, the question the Rambam asked and others, is something else. How can you have a tzivoy of Ahavas Hashem? It's hard to be commanded, just like that's question about, you know, belief. How can you be commanded to believe, either I do or don't believe? How could I be commanded to love? How could I be commanded to experience a certain kind of an emotion? It'd be hard if someone told you, you know, like, you know, Liam, you're obligated to love, you know, that person. It would become very, very challenging. We don't choose always the people that we fall in love with. So how exactly are you, is that possible? So we're going to speak about, I would say, two main mahalchim, but the second one's going to branch off a little bit. The first, more contemporary, the first mahalchim we're going to speak about is that of Rav Dessler. It's a very famous general mahalach of Rav Dessler. The particular place that he takes it, as far as Avas Hashem, is interesting. And then we're going to speak about a combination of a Tzfas Emes, something that Rabbi Lam does with the Tzfas Emes, which I find to be very, very beautiful. Let's start like this. Rav Dessler, originally from England, Mashkiach and Panovich, has a farm called Michtav Me'Eliyahu. Those farm are very important works of Machshava. And he has certain discussions there that have become very, very famous. One of those discussions that I'm sure many of us are familiar with, Nikudas HaBechira, Kuntras HaBechira, Rav Dessler's theory that there's a particular point in our Avodas Hashem. He uses, I think, the battlefield mashal. I think the Minhag in many places use the football field mashal, that you are sort of at a particular place in the football field, and that's really the place of battle in Avodas Hashem. Some things I've already conquered. I'm now on the 20-yard line. I've already made an enormous amount of progress, but that was always an additional area for me to work with. One of the things that Rav Dessler has is a kuntras haches, that's in the first chelik of Michtav Me'Eliyahu, where Rav Dessler develops an idea that is incredibly significant on its own right. The implications of that idea they're enormous. Let's start like this, kuntras haches. It's going to be a couple of steps until we get to the point, I guess four steps until we get to the, and then we'll properly understand Ahavas Hashem and his thought. Number one, Rav Dessler understands the first step, that all people are created with, the distinction is so important for him. We have a capacity to give and a capacity to take. We're created with the ability to give and the ability to take. The ability to take, those who are takers, says Rav Dessler, that is Shoresh Kol Haraos. That is the source of all evil. Those who want to take, what's referred to, as Desert points out, it's often referred to as, you love yourself, so you take lots of things for yourself. That's one kind of person, that's one kind of trait. There are also nosnim, people who give, people who are trying their best to always give over and share with others. Rav Dessler understands that capacity to give is actually tied very directly with our Tzelem Elokim. Tzelem Elokim is not our intellectual capacity like it is for the Rambam. It's not what it is for Meshecha. It's for Dessler, Tzelem Elokim, is that just like God is one who can be compassionate, give, support us, support the whole world, so too we have a capacity to be givers. And for Rav Dessler, that is obviously on a midos level, very, very important. But it's not only on a midos level, he goes one step further. Rav Dessler understands, hav, ava. Rav Dessler understands that all of love stems from giving. He points at the following. We know on a level of correlation that those that we love more, we give to more. Parents who love their children give an enormous amount to their children. You give gifts more often to people you love. You don't give gifts to people that you don't like that much. You don't give gifts to people that you're a random stranger. You give them a gift, that's something which is strange. Who do you give a gift to? You give gifts to people that you love and you feel close to. Rav Dessler almost declares a chakira. Asks Rav Dessler, what exactly is the cause and effect? Most of us would assume, says Rav Dessler, that the people I love are the people that I give to. Because I love my wife, so I give her a gift. Because I love my children, I want to buy them presents. Says Rav Dessler, it actually doesn't go that way. It's the opposite. He tries to prove, based on Chazal, the opposite phenomenon. Those we give to, those we invest in, they are the ones that we love more. So the reason why Rav Dessler would say, I love my wife, obviously there are a lot of factors there, but it's not that I love and I give, because I've invested so much in a relationship, because I've given so much, so that in many ways, argues Rav Dessler, contributes to the kind of love that we have. That's true also if you speak about parents and children. You'll often hear parents say, my mother even this week, that there's something that is, it's very hard to understand the extent to which a parent loves their child. My mom said it to me, I think, this week, was, you know, only when you have children, in a certain sense, do you really understand the beginnings of the depth of your parents' love for you. One of the reasons why parents love their children so much, there are many reasons. Rav Dessler suggests that part of it is that parents are so incredibly giving to their children. They're so incredibly giving. A baby is born totally unable to do anything on his own. A baby is a pure, just he's mekabel, and the parents, you're pure just giving. When you get like a little bit of a smile, you know, it's the best thing in the world. But so much of it is just investing and giving and getting up in the middle of the night and all the challenges, that which we sacrifice for, that which we give for, that generates a certain kind of ahava. That is the source of ahava, so argues Rav Dessler. Parenthetically, that yisod is exceptionally important in the world of dating. Why is that important? Because it has to do with, I'm not getting into the pratim of the particular worlds that we may be dating in, and we have, you know, citizens of like 11 different countries in the room right now, so I couldn't, you know, I would need to like read a lot in order to be able to properly speak about, you know, between, I mean, you're a citizen of all 11 of those countries, but I'm saying like there's a lot to properly, you know, understand, but what one eitzah, often in dating, you'll have a phenomenon where a couple is going out for a while and they feel pretty close, and you'll hear this line, but I feel like we're missing something. I feel like there's this like additional level in relationship, and like we're not getting there. And one thing, a point of advice that some will give, I can't say it's proven, but some will give an eitzah in line with this thought of Rav Dessler. Maybe buy her a gift. Buy her a small gift. Just something that in and of itself will help you become. We think that the giving of the gift will help her develop certain feelings, and that may be true also. But since Rav Dessler, the acting, you know, when you give that gift, you're also generating a certain kind of increased emotional connection. Part one, we're nosnin and notlim, different ways of going. Part two, the source of love and the source of all midos tovos is to give. Step three, Rav Dessler understands that connects also to hakaras hatov. It's appropriate for this holiday weekend. The hakaras hatov. How does hakaras hatov? I'm given certain good things. I'm given something. Hakaras hatov is my ability to respond. It's my ability to say thank you, and to express the extent to which I appreciate that which you did. Rav Dessler, according to this last night, I think, I don't remember, Rav Huttner writes even in one place that amongst big tzaddikim, amongst holy people, one midah that they have that distinguishes themselves from others is that midah of hakaras hatov. What's the yisod of hakaras hatov? So Rav Dessler says it's the same point. You know why I'm makir tov, says Rav Dessler? The reason why I am makir tov is because I got something from you. You gave me a gift. who gave me pumpkin pie. So now that I received that, I'm uncomfortable being someone who's a no-tell. I don't want to be someone that's taking. To be a taker, it's a source of so many bad midos. I want to give. So if you gave me something, I want to give back to you. That's good midos. I don't want to be a taker. What can I give back to you? So sometimes I can pay you. Sometimes I can give you money for it. But where it's inappropriate or I'm not able to give money, so what do? I express Hakaras HaTov. Hakaras HaTov, argues with Dessler, is essentially me trying to not be a taker. Hakaras HaTov is me trying to avoid being someone that receives instead of giving. It's my way of leveling the playing field. It's my way of giving back to you. So if you do something for me, it's my ability when I say, by the way, thank you very, very much for the time that you spent, you know, investing in that. It's a statement of, in a real powerful way, that I want to give back to you also. A person who's kafoy tov, a person who gets and doesn't say thank you, they're a pure no-tell. They're someone who's receiving, and that's where they are going to leave it. That's the background for Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler now says, what about Avas Hashem? Avas Hashem becomes exceptionally, exceptionally challenging, I would think, in light of Rav Dessler's Yesod. If Avas Hashem is all about that I am giving instead of taking, there is not a relationship that we have which is not more l'chora, pure taking, than our relationship with God. That if the Ribono Sholem is giving us so much, giving us life, giving us wonderful, we're all blessed, everyone in this room is blessed with an enormous range of talents, abilities, coming from wonderful communities. We are given so much talent and so much intelligence and so much personality. We're gifted so much. We're the ultimate mikablam. We're the ultimate mikablam. Happens to be, the more you even learn, like, Torah Samachshava, the more that we're, like, pure mikablam. Like, mechadis petuvo b'chol yom tam masav. It's always, like, sustaining and recreating and giving and giving and giving. So how can you have Ahavas Hashem? How is that possible to have Ahavas Hashem? That's what you explained to me, how I can, like a friend of mine, you can give them a gift, okay, Shkaya, I can give them things. That's a way of engendering, that's a way of generating a certain kind of love. But what about the Ribono Sha'olam? So Rav Dessler understands as follows. There, it's in the bottom left. Avur Sakel Benuya Al Yesod HaKaras HaTov. If you want to fall in love, you have to give. If you want to fall in love, you have to give. Now, God does not really need our Avodas Hashem. We spoke about last year in the Ramban Shir, and based on some Zohar and Tosfos Chassidus, could be God in a real Kabbalistic sense. That may be a bit of a more, not so, such a simple idea. But God doesn't really need our Avodas Hashem. God is the same. God is fine whether I make a bracha or don't make a bracha. God is the same whether I daven or don't daven. Why do I daven? So for many Rishonim, I daven for me. It was last year, as far as the Sefer Mitzvah Shir, not in the narcissistic. We daven for me because God wants a way of me improving myself, becoming a more moral person, becoming a better person, you know, ideas like that. It says Rav Dessler like this, the yisod of Torah and Mitzvos, the yisod of Avas Hashem, real Avas Hashem, is Hakaras HaTov. Hashem does so much for us. That's why the first Dibra, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hatzichecha Me'aretz Mitzrayim, that's why the first Dibra is Asher Hatzichecha Me'aretz Mitzrayim. That Hashem wants to engender a sense of Hakaras HaTov in us. So what do I do with that Hakaras HaTov? So he suggests a vort from one of the Baalei HaMusar. God all gave us things. We can't change what that much of who we are. We are who we are. We can't change that much as far as our essential nature. The way that we begin to develop a sense of Avas Hashem is by having Hakaras HaTov Klapei Ribono Sholem. By having Hakaras HaTov Klapei Ribono Sholem. In a certain sense, giving over. If you look there in the fourth paragraph, in the bottom left section, he says, when you admit, when you say to God, thanks for those things, v'yargis v'cholavavu v'nafsha, ki chayav hu b'tashlume kol ha-tovos ha-rabas asher asa lo ha-kel. As Yavilo Hatoda Hazos in Bikarban or Bitfila Asher Yagishan Lifan of Yisbarach. Baasoso Kacha, Bea Adam Kimo Nosain, Vakars Baruch Kivyachal Kimikabel, Yiske Adam Bazel Madrega Hachi Gedola. That's how you get to Ava. Says Rav Dessler, you know how you fall in love with God? The way I fall in love with God, when I appreciate that which I have.
God blessed me with enormous tova. He blessed me with enormous skills and traits and ability and a great family. And he blessed me with people who love me. And he allowed me to be in certain places where I can really succeed. When I get all of those things, says Rav Dessler, and I respond by having a karas atov to Hashem, I'm becoming more of a nosein. The yisod of ahava is to give. Not because God really needs, but I become someone that is like I'm now giving to the bonus shalom. When I daven more because of my karas atov. When I learn more, God gave me a great intellect. So now I'm going to learn it with more passion, with more focus, with more determination. That God gave me a certain kind of connection. And now I want to thank him in tefillah. That is the beginning, says Rav Dessler. That is what allows a person to really fall in love in a certain sense with Ribono Shel Olam. I'm not able to see. It's not about what you receive. What you receive, if it was all about receiving, we'd love God the most, it'd be very, very easy. The reason why it's challenging, part of the challenge of Ahavas Hashem, is because it's hard to give to God. Giving is the source of Ahava. But if it's hard to give to God, so what do I do? So I can still give. That's called a karas atov. A karas atov is a way of you trying to give in whatever way, in the best way possible. I can't give God money. I can't, but I can bring a carbon base to Mikdash. I can be Obed Hashem. I can daven. That is Rav Dessler's approach to Ahavas Hashem. So whereas we started last week with the Maharal, and the Maharal explaining how does love with Hashem work, love amongst equals, things like that. So Rav Dessler is going to bring us in a bit of a different angle. For Rav Dessler, it's not about love. For the Maharal, love is viewed in terms of the question, are we equal? Are we mash? Things like that. For Rav Dessler, love is viewed in terms of, are we to give? To give. How do I give to Hashem? So that's Rav Dessler's chiddush, hakaras atov. That's a way that I do it. It happens to be then, just to point this out, that's why for Rav Dessler, part of what I want to do, I have to really think about sometimes the wonderful talents and abilities that I have. It's not selfish to do so. Thinking about the gifts that God gave me are not selfish. It's what allows me to then have appropriate and proper hakaras atov. Thinking about being rejoicing in the, we spoke yesterday in the parsha about bakol, all the wonderful things that God may have given us. So that's something which is very, very beautiful and very, very powerful. I want to talk about second mahalach. I want to talk about a second mahalach. It's mahalach l'sfas emes. It's in other places in Torah Chassidus. Also, we'll quote something from the Tanya in a little bit. But the yisod of the sfas emes that is fantastic. It happens to be the sfas emes that gets quoted in a couple of different svarim. Rabbi Lamb has a drasha. I'll speak about it later. We'll talk about one of these pieces of sfas emes. The sefer called Sha'arim El Apnimius, which is a sefer that's like a hakdama to Chassidus and a bit of Kabbalah, where he also based on sfas emes, which is a lot about sfas emes. Let's go to source number five. Sfas emes parsha nitzavim. Says sfas emes like this. Rambam, it's a good question. How can you fall? Not the question of how you can fall in love with Hashem. I'm taking granted. How can there be a tzivoy to fall in love with Hashem? How can there be a command? How can you be commanded to love something? It doesn't work that way. So sfas emes suggests the following idea. Those that we've been learning with we've cooked together on Wednesdays are going to be familiar with elements of this. Says sfas emes, "Zeu ateret amiti al kushis harambam. Ich shaych mitvas asei v'ahavta uchadome dvar matluyim b'leiv." Says sfas emes the following insight. Ach ki nitva ha'ahava la'Hashem yisbarach b'leiv kol ish Yisrael. Ach v'rak tzarech adam shol lishtabek b'tayvos l'mshoch ahava l'ra'ah. Shaydeza nistar nekuda ha'amitis. Says sfas emes as follows. Every single person, he writes here, so every single member of B'nai Yisrael, all those who are commanded to love Hashem, how can we be commanded? Answer, because we're actually pre-programmed for it. You can be commanded to perform specific actions. So what exactly is the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem? Says the sfas emes as follows. We are programmed to love Hashem. We're programmed. Deep down inside, there's a point of us where we feel a certain kesher, we feel a certain connection to the Ribono Shel Olam. So what's really the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem? How can God command us to do that? Because what am I supposed to do to cause the dinner of Ahavas Hashem? So sfas emes, that nekuda is really there. Why don't we always feel it? So we don't always feel it because it's covered. It's very much covered. It can be covered in many, many things. It can be covered in bad things. It could be covered in neutral things. I'm just not thinking about it that much. I'm so focused on other things that inner nekuda is just something which is getting, it's going to be contaminated. It's not going to be as
I'm not going to feel it, and it's not going to express itself as much. So that's five times. So then the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, how do I come to Avas Hashem? For the Rambam, I come to Avas Hashem by thinking about Torah, thinking about the wonderful world out there, and seeing nature. Those are all ways I come to Avas Hashem. For Rav Dessler, I come to Avas Hashem by giving. For Maharal, we'll speak a little bit maybe in a future week about, you know, some of the details as far as how I come to Avas Hashem, but certainly it's a recognition that I'm nothing without Hashem, that Hashem is mashlim me, that I become more complete as a Maharal. For Sfas Emes, you know what you do to have Avas Hashem? Just clean off the externals. Just clean off the externals. It's like taking an incredible, like a almost, this is a weird way of saying it, like it's like a spiritual shower. It's just washing off all the other stuff, and the real Avas Hashem is going to come out. We spoke about that a lot, again, on the Wednesday morning, with Rav Kook and Emunah is not fundamentally different. Rav Kook writes similarly about Emunah, that even, this is the past month, that even the greatest heretics in our, we've had some very, very good heretics who have tried to, you know, establish policies that have not been in the best interest of the Jewish people or really anyone that worships God. We've been, you know, you're communists and you're socialists. We've had some good Jewish heretics running those things. I don't mean they were good, actually. Says Rav Kook, every single Jew, even the biggest heretic, has built in him a fire of emunah, built in him a fire of faith, a fire of faith. If we spoke about it for Rav Kook, it's more complex. But if Rav Kook was teaching a class in emunah, I'm going into a school giving a class in emunah. So again, for the Rambam about Avas Hashem, for the Rambam about Emunah, maybe it's going to be an intellectual class. It's going to be a class where we're covering a certain amount of ground and learning about science, learning about Torah, learning about how God interacts with the world. That's what it may be for the Rambam. If you are, we spoke about this, and if you're Reb Yehuda Halevi in Emunah, it's going to be more of a history lesson. There was Maimon Har Sinai, there was Yetzias Mitzrayim, look at history, that's going to cause you. For Rav Kook, and it's similar to the Sfas Emes here, a class in Emunah, part of that class may be just like purifying ourselves, removing certain like external things that hinder that inner nekuda, which happens to be there. If you look in the Baal Tanya in the Shahar Yichud Ve'emuna, the Baal Tanya does express a similar idea. You know, I should mention one thing first. For Sfas Emes, this is it's a beautiful insight. For Sfas Emes, that nekuda is very much tied to our neshama. That nekuda is very much tied to our neshama. And the extent to which you're in touch with your neshama, you experience that ahava. Therefore, says Sfas Emes, there in chapter 6, Sfas Emes, part of Yeshanan, he says two things. One, part of what we're trying to accomplish when we say kriyashma, part of what we're trying, and it's a little bit more complex than Sfas Emes, but part of what we're trying to accomplish when we say kriyashma, v'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, is to keep us a bit more aware of that, to try to tap in a little bit more to the gift that we have. And says Sfas Emes, that's why Shabbos, the Gemara tells us that Shabbos we have in Neshama Yisera. For some Rishonim, Rashi famously writes in Neshama Yisera is like man's ability to eat more food on Shabbos. That's something which many of us can confirm, you know. We're positive that's true. But if you look in Lashon Mekubetzes, if you look in Beitza there, if you look in some of the other Rishonim, the Pashut Pshat, the way we're brought up with it, Neshama Yisera, we experience a certain sort of extra spiritual feel on a Shabbos. Says Sfas Emes, Shabbos, because Ahavas Hashem is pre-programmed, and the extent to which we're in touch with our neshama, we're going to feel that Ahava. So says Sfas Emes, when Shabbos sometimes, people experience a bit more Ahavas Hashem. And Shabbos, some of that feel of, I'm a bit more spiritual on Shabbos, or things like that. So that's partially because we're pre-programmed for it. The Baal Tanya, and again, the Hakdama to Shar HaYichud VeEmunah, the Baal Tanya develops a similar idea. He happens to think that there's two kinds of Ahavas Hashem. One of them is not shayach for most people. One of them is similar to this idea, this like enormous natural feeling of being in love with God. It comes out only when you have a certain kind of soul, when you're Mekayim Torah Mitzvos like crazy. That's when, says Baal Tanya, for tzaddikim, they're able to have this like overflowing, but it's only for certain people. For others, so there's also, Moshe tried to establish within Klal Yisrael, that we also do have a bit of a natural feel to have love with Ribono Sholem, but we do have to be me'orer that. We do have to do things in order to bring that out. As chaz we saw so far, so I can add in a beautiful nekuda from Rabbi Lam. What we saw so far is the following. How do you fall in love with Hashem? How does that work? So So in the thought of Rav Dessler, by giving, when I give to Ribono Shel Olam, when I give to anyone, that's called love. In that sense, for Rav Dessler again, Avas Hashem is not fundamentally different, conceptually different, from Ava of anything else. It's about giving. For Sfas Emes, Avas Hashem is different and unique. How can I have Avas Hashem? I'm pre-programmed for it. I'm pre-programmed. In a certain sense, it's different than other Avas. I'm not pre-programmed to love, you know, that or that. I'm pre-programmed to love Hashem. And my real avodah of how to do that is to cleanse myself off a little bit. Let me shift a bit to Rabbi Lamb, who says it's a beautiful suggestion he makes based on the Sfas Emes with a couple of implications. Rabbi Lamb, just to give a background, as many of us, he's probably, some of us may be less familiar. Rabbi Lamb was the president and Rosh HaYeshiva of YU for many, many years. He was he published many works. I would say his main contributions were in three areas. These areas matter a lot to us. Area number one is in academic Jewish studies. He wrote a very important book, as an example, on Torah Lishma, Chaim Velazner, Nefesh HaChaim, a very, very important work. Rabbi Lamb, a lot there. Happens to be he wrote an article on Rambam and Avas Hashem, which we're not going to speak about, but a very important article there. Rabbi Lamb has written a lot academic Jewish studies. Second thing Rabbi Lamb did is he wrote a lot about contemporary topics and man's role in this, you know, in this world. So Torah Umada, it's not, I wouldn't say it's like just standard academic, what did Chaim Velazner think, but it's about describing a worldview of how you can interact with this world and learn from it also. Rabbi Lamb wrote one of the first articles on homosexuality, you know, years ago. But now it's a much more of a hot topic. But when it started, you know, becoming a bit of an issue, Rabbi Lamb's one of the first who really wrote an article. He gave a lot of insight into how a person lives in the modern world. The third area, just my on a personal note, Rabbi Lamb's impact is enormous, and I would say in many ways unique as far as figures we are familiar with, is the world of Drush, one of the great Darshanim. We know the world of Pshat, the world of Pshat, Shal Mikra, what Chumash exactly really says. There's a world of Sod and Remez and Gematrias and Torah HaKabbalah. Drush is not Pshat. He wrote a great article called The Unrepentant Darshan. His drushes are unbelievable. They put out a couple of years ago, this is on Dvarim, five volumes of Rabbi Lamb's drushes on Chumash. Drushes from like 1950s, 60s. They have some of the current events in them, which is very, very moving often. He has drushes on Moedim, a different sefer, and it's really, his drushes are fantastic. Rabbi Lamb, in a drusha, quoted the Sfas Emes, and he pointed out, let's say three things. One, he wrote like this. The idea of the Sfas Emes happens to fit very nicely with a story that is told about, if you're recording him and we're going with the Torah Mada route, we might as well quote the story of Michelangelo, that he made a great statue of Moses. And the Maisa goes that when they saw him take this like big piece of rock, of stone, and just like form it into Moshe, so they said to Michelangelo, how wonderful to watch a master at work. Here you take a mere slab of stone and make a Moses of it. And Michelangelo apparently responded, you are mistaken. What happens is that I see Moses inside the stone, and I merely chip away the unnecessary parts of the stone so that you can clearly see what I saw in there before. The Lamb points out, so it is within the Nekuda of love for Torah. It already exists in every Jewish heart, but we must strive to chip away the hard rocks that so frequently encase it. For the love of God, we must do it. That there's point number one. Again, just the orientation, Shebo. For this Sfas Emes, we have something within us, and it's about chipping away at it. In many ways, that becomes our primary avodah. He points out that this is it has implications. You ever you're going to hear this in life. People are going to get up sometimes, and they're going to speak to you about intermarriage rates. And they're going to speak to you about the percentage of unaffiliated Jews. And they're going to talk to you about the Jews who are just totally unaffiliated, who are totally not disengaged. The amount of Jews now who are unlikely to have Jewish grandchildren. And in many ways, Rabbi Lam points out, in different times, we've always had people who have told us it's all falling apart, and that Klal Yisrael is losing it, and Klal Yisrael is losing it. Rabbi Lam points out, if you're looking at 1950s, the conservative Jewry, sociologists are predicting Orthodoxy is going to die. Conservative Jewry, that's where everything is at. Good, serious sociology. And it's not because they were making mistakes. It's not because they were wrong. A lot of those, based on the evidence, that's what should be the case. But says Rabbi Lam, they forgot one thing. The nekuda of every Jew, this Sfas Emes, the nekuda of every Jew that actually feels a certain passion and love for the Ribono Shel Olam. And even though, perhaps from a superficial analysis, they are right, but so were the Sadducees right 2,000 years ago from a superficial analysis. The trouble is that they fail to reckon with the nekuda. It's only a dot, that bit of love for Torah, but oh, can it grow? How often have we seen people seemingly infinitely far from Torah return with a love and emotion that were amazing to behold? The nekuda breaks out. The nekuda is unpredictable, but it's always there. So one thing Rabbi Lam points out based on Tzfas Emes, we never discount Jewry. We can look at polls. If you follow things like the Pew Report, who are familiar with that? If you're familiar with some of these polls about, how are things going, percentage of people that are staying Orthodox, all that stuff, we have to do our best in our shtadlus, but never forget that particular nekuda. Rabbi Lam goes one step further, and this is where the drush comes in. Says Rabbi Lam, the same way that we have a nekuda in which we are in love with the Ribono Shel Olam, so the Ribono Shel Olam also has a nekuda in which he feels a special sense of love for us, kivyachol. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos that when the Ribono Shel Olam's tefillin, what's written in Hashem's tefillin, mi ka'amcha Yisrael, who is like B'nai Yisrael? The relationship is pre-programmed. It's not just that we feel love for Hashem. It's that there is kivyachol also a certain kind of nekuda that Hashem has in which he feels a certain unique kind of a love, for us. Says Rabbi Lam, yes, there is nekuda in God too. And insofar as we develop the nekuda of love for Torah within us, does God develop the nekuda of love for Israel within him? But whatever may be, the spark is there and is that which has ensured our survival. The Sfas Emes insight is the Pesach to understanding so much of our relationship with Ribono Shel Olam. It's not just us loving Hashem, it's also that Hashem feels that also. Feels a certain shaychus and feels a certain love. The more that we do, the more that we're able to experience it. It's like Mashal Lamad Avadon, where Lam mentions again the important insight. You have Mechanchim sometimes, who will speak about this, one very famous, that we speak too much. There are those who critique. We speak too much in classes and in shiurim about the need to believe in Hashem, about the need to love Hashem, and we don't speak enough about the fact that God believes in us and the fact that God is in love with us. We maybe sometimes focus too much on one direction and not enough on the other direction. That's the divorce which is suggested in Torah Chassidus, and maybe from other places also, of Tov L'Hodos L'Hashem. We say Baboker Chasdecha V'Emunascha Balelos. That Baboker Chasdecha, when things are good, we experience our kind of Chesed. V'Emunascha Balelos, Emunascha, God, your Emuna Balelos, when things are challenging. That God has a certain kind of faith in us also, and God has developed a certain kind of, whatever that means, love for us at the same time. One of the challenges. Of Avas Hashem is that sometimes we feel like so much is being asked from us, and so much of a relationship is one-sided, and so much of a relationship is all about, much as we know we receive so much, but as far as you talk about Avas Hashem, like, you have to do this, and you have to do this. One of the things which sometimes helps, and it's a point which is often maybe not understood as much, is the extent to which Ribono Shel Olam also feels a certain connection and a care and a desire to be involved in our lives. Whatever that means, again, kviyachal, whatever that means, that there's a certain interest, there's a certain love and a certain desire that's there. The fact that someone believes in you is very, very powerful. It's very, very powerful. One of the greatest things we can get in our lives is the feeling like there are people that believe in us. There are people that believe we can do incredible, incredible things. And to know the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Emunascha, there's Nekuda there, Mika Amcha Yisrael, and that Gemara Maseches Brachos, that is something which is incredibly powerful. It is something which is incredibly, incredibly unique. I want to chazer, and then I want to just maybe point out a Nekuda or so. We spoke last week, we spoke this week, a little bit about the nature of Avas Hashem, this week focusing on the perspectives of Tzfas Emes and Rav Dessler, again with an additional piece from Rabbi Lamb. We spoke about in Rav Dessler, Avas Hashem, I get it through giving, just like all Avas, I get through giving. If I'm having a hard time with a roommate, counterintuitive as it is, having a hard time with a roommate, and I want to get that better, so be very nice to him. Then you'll develop more of an emotional, positive emotional connection to him. For Tzfas Emes, Emunah is built within us. Emunah is built within us. I wanted to share a thought or two about what we've spoken about this week and then a little bit what we spoke about last week. It's very, very hard, I imagine, as we introduced in the beginning of last week. Avas Hashem, we know, is a very, very important mitzvah. V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, Kriyat Shema, Parshas V'yeschanan, we say it so many times a day, V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, that we want to love the Ribbono Shel Olam. We know it's one of the mitzvahs of Tmidios, it's a mitzvah that a person's always supposed to, in a certain sense, be thinking about. It's also incredibly, incredibly challenging, and often, it's very, very easy to overlook and to not invest that much. We sometimes make the mistake, the assumption of the question that we quoted earlier. You can't be commanded to love, you can't be told to love, either I do or I don't. And the question of whether we have Ahavas Hashem or don't have Ahavas Hashem, we often view as one that is beyond our control. It's a function of where I'm at. Do I love or not love? Maybe yes, maybe no, but it's not. There aren't like concrete things the same way that I can be doing. It's a question of Ava. You have it, you don't have it. That's life. One of the things that we're trying to point out today, and we tried to point out a little bit last time, there are things that we are able to do. It's a mitzvah because we can do it. It's a mitzvah because it means that there's concrete steps that a person can take in order to generate within themselves a certain sense of Avas Hashem. If I don't have that at all, and I haven't yet tried those things, so then I haven't really yet done what I'm expected to be able to do. I don't feel it. Great. But there are steps that a person can take. That's point one. Point two, there are many different steps out there that people can take. It could be the step is a question of giving like Rav Dessler. If you're a Tzfas Emes person, it's about removing some of the external so that the pure inner Ahava can come out. For Tzfas Emes, for Baal Tanya, it's about doing things to help remind us of Ahavas Hashem. If I'm going through a day if I say Kriyat Shema three times a day, you know, and I'm not even like thinking about what Vehafta means, and it's not triggered at all, something which is important, that's a Ramchal Nakuda. If we're not thinking about it at all, it's not going to be on our plates at all. And again, for Rambam, it may be learning Torah, learning how God interacts with this world. There are different steps that we can take. There are different pathways to help generate and find a certain sense of Avas Hashem. Point three, not all of those pathways are going to work for all of us. There are going to be people that will, it's not like a narrow halacha, so like how do we paskin? No, are we paskin like Tzfas Emes? Okay, good. It's not a question of that. The goal of experiencing a certain sense of Ahava, of falling in love with the Ribbono Shel Olam, that is something which people can get, but we have to find the pathway that works best for us. How do we find the pathway that best works for us? So some of us know ourselves a bit. We know that's an idea I connect to. That's an idea that resonates with me a little bit. There may be ideas we find more compelling or less, but a lot of it's through exploring. A lot of it's through trying out some of these things and being able to think about how can I live a life with a bit more of Avas Hashem. It's one of the most basic elements of our Yisodei HaTorah. It's one of our most basic elements of Avas Hashem, but sometimes it's easy to overlook it. Sometimes it's easy to spend, you know, so much time just in the Sugyas and Mesachas Ksubis and to lose a bit of focus in terms of a broader, bigger picture. That's why it's helpful in these shiurim sometimes that we try to speak about some of those issues, even just to give us, it's a topic in Machshava, but it's not. It's also practical. There are things that we can hopefully do, and may we be zocha to really experience that sense of avas Hashem, which comes with an enormous feeling of simcha and nachas, the feeling that I'm doing things that are great. Maybe we all be zocha to experience that.